Lights out and away we go.
Hey, this is Doug McKagan, and you're listening to the Dirty Side of the Track podcast. I'm here with Pit Lane Paul.
This is Jacques Villeneuve, and you're listening to the Dirty Side of the Track.
This is Valtteri Bottas, and you're listening to the Dirty Side of the Track.
Hey now! Hey now! Hey now!
I've known Seb for a long time. I interviewed him as a journalist. And then actually I was involved a little bit in trying to bring him to McLaren at the end of 2007. This hasn't really been reported. So there you go, there's a little scoop for you.
I've signed many of my ass cheeks, yeah.
Yes.
Every now and then they keep, you know, popping up. You know, if there's fan meetings and, you know, in random countries or places, there's always somebody with this poster who's walking to me, and yeah, then everybody's looking like, what is that? So, yeah, it's quite funny. Yeah.
I always loved working the old-fashioned way, engineer piece of paper, you know, closing my eyes and trying to feel the lap I was doing, the braking, the corners, and why or what to do to go faster.
You know the best place to stay or the worst place to stay. you know which, you know, how to get into the circuit, you know, if traffic's going to be a nightmare. Things that fans have no reason to know about or care about, you know, but we worry about them. So Monaco logistically is quite difficult, but you kind of get there and you're like, I mean, you know, I'm working right next to this yacht, this harbour. You kind of get over it quite quickly.
Yeah, that crash in Imola, actually the impact itself wasn't that huge. Like the first impact was with great speed to the concrete wall, but it was like not really big angle. So that was okay. But then I was waiting for the second impact, and actually it was pretty soft because the barrier was pretty big. And then I got a slap on my head.
Accelerator pedal on the right, brake pedal in the middle, secondary brake pedal on the left. We've got it. And then we ran it as a double page spread in the magazine, and it was one of the biggest scoops in motor racing history.
Because the battery holder, which was in the side pod, had been broken by the contact, and the battery was moving around, only held by the electrical cable.
Once you're standing on the podium on the top step, that was a huge thing for me, and that's definitely number one. I think actually Australia 2019, it's close there to be number one. It was, I think, probably my best race ever, but I think I still have a bit of hangover from that night, so that's why it's dropping down to level two.
I'm laughing again. Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast. I'm Brian, that's Rob. Paul's with us. It is our 100th episode, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us. Rob, how are you, man?
Oh, I'm really happy to be hitting the 100 mark. And it was very kind of, I don't know, reminiscing when I was putting that video together, going through, picking all the little sound clips out. It was, and I really enjoyed listening to some of the old stuff, which is probably a little bit self-indulgent, a little bit, you know.
That's what the whole episode is.
But that's what the whole episode is going to be. So if you don't want to hear about us loving the 100th, then I'd probably tune in next week for the Vegas review. But yeah, we're also honored to have Pit Lane Paul somewhere out in the middle of Salt Lake City. He's pulled over to the side of the road and has joined us. So hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Fantastic. Well. How are you, man?
Good. I didn't get the memo on dressing like a snooker player. I was interested in the costume here.
Yeah, well, if you're on the, well, anybody watch on the YouTube, I'm wearing a shirt that I probably haven't fit into for about 3 years.
Yeah, you aren't. Paul's hat, though,
which I struggled to put on.
Paul's hat is pretty sweet for YouTubers.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt a little bit out of place in just a t-shirt sat in a car by the side of some freeway in America where you two are dressed quite posh. So I thought I'd get my hat on. Yeah, a bit of a strong hat game. You know,
it is. It's a very strong hat game. So you're what, heading? What you've been? What, Seattle? And now you're winding your way down on the way to Vegas, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, the hat plays a story here as well. And I'm sorry for anyone listening on podcast who've got no idea about the hat or the bow ties, but the hat I'm wearing is from the TV show Yellowstone. It turns out that the company that makes the hats for the show are based in Greeley, just outside Denver. So when I was over there riding bikes in the summer, I visited the place and they made a custom-made Yellowstone hat, a replica of Rip from the show.
Wow.
So Yeah, so I landed in Seattle after Sao Paulo, and then sort of like I went to Missoula, and then drove down past the Dutton Ranch on the way through Yellowstone a few days ago, which is actually pretty disappointing because you just stand on the side of the road and look at a building with like the wire on it, and I don't know why I expected a lot more. I felt a bit silly then, stood outside on the side of the road with my hat on, but I had to just play the story. And then, yeah, wow. So went down to Salt Lake City. I'm now actually in between Salt Lake and sort of in between Salt Lake and Vegas now. Spending the night out here somewhere and then rolling into Vegas tomorrow for the start of this fun week that we're going to have.
Are you as excited as we are now? I got to be honest. Rob and I were kind of down on Vegas for a while, but now that it's here, I'm ready for it. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what actually happens. Like, are you excited? Are you curious? Like, what's your mindset going into Vegas this week?
I see things different from you guys being fans. Like, I see more of the challenge of getting around the circuit. You know, like, we go to work when the track's still open for the public. So obviously the track's closed for a really small amount of time, just when they need it for Formula One almost. I think I know Joe, who's our teammate, he's staying in a hotel the other side of the circuit to where the paddock is. And apparently we can't call it the paddock for some reason. Something else. I don't know what that's all about, but yeah, I'll continue to call it the paddock because in 20 years it's been the paddock. How he's going to get to the track, just using him as a guide, and a lot of the drivers, I know the Mercedes guys in the same situation here, where they're all staying on the other side of the road to where the paddock is. So I don't see how they get in and out of the circuit. I can't imagine Lewis Hamilton walking the streets of Vegas with loads of race cars. So, yeah, do you know, it's am I looking forward to it as a race? I'm so curious how it's going to work because the reports are that the temperature inside the cars is going to be as close to freezing as you can get with the guys. So the tires are going to have no grip. There's no rubber being laid on the track apart from Formula One because there's no support races, and then the track's open to the public, so the normal road cars will sort of clean up any rubber left over. But so I don't know. I just think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a good battle of who can get their tires to work. I think it's going to be a good battle of some of the things that you're not quite used to in F1, where you see a lot of teams overheating tires. You see a lot of issues related to the heat, Qatar, when drivers were pretty much dropping down. And we're not going to see any of that in Vegas. In fact, we're going to see the opposite of all of this stuff. So, look, I'm on the fence massively with Vegas. Am I looking forward to it? I won't lie. No, I'm not. But the only reason I'm saying no is for the reasons I've said. I'm interested by the logistics and how the cars perform. For me, no tire temp, no grip on the circuit, solid walls each side of you. It's going to be an interesting one for them guys.
We posted a picture on the Instagram this week of the rundown to the first corner, and one of the things that struck me that, I'm lying, it didn't strike me. I read other people's comments and then looked at the photo and was like, oh yeah, that's interesting. So now I'm passing it off as my comment, which is that it doesn't look like all the cars are going to fit in a straight line on the start line. There's quite a bend down. I know other circuits have kind of got that. The run down to the first corner looks very minimal, and the pit exit looks like it almost like drops out into the apex of the first corner. Now, I guess it's not quite because the angle around that corner won't drop the racing line directly over the pit lane. I really hope they wouldn't have done that. But it just, yeah, that looks like it's going to be spicy as well when cars start coming out of the pits. But we'll see.
I won't lie. This sounds really bad as well. I've not really paid a huge amount of attention to the circuit. I did see the picture you put up. It's sort of like if you think of Singapore, the pit lane exit in Singapore, it arguably could be very similar from a picture I saw. I think it's going to be one of those. It's going to be a really good event and a really good race, or it's going to be tragic. And yeah, I don't know which way I'm going on that one yet. So it's you know, let's be optimistic. Let's say it's going to be a good race.
I was going to say, let's be optimistic and let's circle back to this at the end of the episode when we do our Vegas preview, which we've probably blown most of because there's not a lot to preview with no history about it.
But I've got some stats on the track. It'll take us about 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. We'll come back there because we are being selfish and self-indulgent and celebrating our 100th show. So when we were kind of looking at things about us hitting 100, it wouldn't be right if we didn't really kind of hit that first off with kind of a SAP stats dirty side of it's 100 edition. So over to you, Brian, to pick some kind of whichever one you want, whichever jingle. Here we go.
Well, actually, I'm going jingle-less because today we want to highlight all the guests and people who have sent in notes. And so, and also because I have 14 windows open and none of them are the regular window. But so this is amazing, right? I mean, 100 episodes, it started like this. And this was literally the beginning. I was sitting in my in-law's house on a laundry basket microphone situation. And this is how we started the first ever episode. And Rob's response.
Hey now, welcome to the Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast with your hosts, Brian Saperstein and Rob Vail. What's going on, Rob?
Well, what's going on is this is going to be the shortest ever podcast career if you're going to introduce every single podcast like that.
So things we can learn from that. One, we've both upgraded our microphones.
Yeah,
two,
bit.
I'm not a man of my word because you have introduced every single episode.
Well,
like
except
that.
Number
so,
50,
and
which
I didn't
you
quit.
Did. Yeah, you, number 50, you did. But no, we've had 18,634 listens to date, which is about 12,000 more than this time last year. Thank you all so much. Our top 10 episodes based on listens. In 10th, it was the Discord episode previewing the season, and we will be doing those again. So all Discorders, get ready, and anyone who wants to be part of it, join the Discord. In 9th, our mid-season review with Pit Lane Paul. Paul, you are a popular man. I know.
People love 2022, Paul. Yeah, people love Paul.
People love Paul.
It's worrying, isn't it?
No, not at all. You're a fantastically interesting person. In 8th, the Miami GP 2023 and James Coker review. In 7th, Spanners when he joined us. In 6th, the Jetta review of 23. In 4th, the Aussie GP. It was the third race this year of this year, and it was interesting that it was 4th because tied for 4th was testing times. This was this episode of testing from February as we got ready for the season. People were so
cool on it. Hold on again to talk about testing. It's like, what's going on here?
I know. People were so excited for the season. Like, testing sounds good. But then our top three, two of them we owe a big thanks to Paul. So, Paul, thank you. Number three, the one was Jacques Villeneuve. That was amazing. Jack came on and is our third most popular. A chat with Matt Bishop edges it out by one listen in second place. And by far, our number one, a race to the finish with Valtteri Bottas. So, Paul, thank you for two of those three. Are on you, brother, and thank you for being such a good friend to the pod and being a good dude.
And just to add some color there is, well, just before you jump in, we'll add some color just because I went to the effort of putting the number of listens down, which Brian nicely ignored, which was great. But the fourth most listened episode, the testing times one, was 271 listens. And then the jump to the top three, Jacques Villeneuve, 428, Matt Bishop, 429, and Valtteri, 466. So those three have really kind of resonated, and it's just been amazing. I just echo what Brian says, Paul, the absolute, well, he might not understand this, but I'm going to say, I'm a geezer.
I don't know what the hell that means.
No worries. It's genuinely good. Listen, I won't lie, I would not have come on any of these shows if you would have got rid of the Hey No. I think the Hey No is an integral part of the show. And with it, I'm sorry, Rob, it would have fallen in the first episode. So thank you, Brian, for keeping that going.
Yeah, no problem.
I do feel that I messed it up on the 50th, which is why I refused to do it on the 100th. I didn't carry the Hey Now. Well.
You said something else in there, like a podcast or something. I don't know. What
I tried to do an American accent. It all went wrong. Paul gave me abuse for it, rightly so. It was just an abomination, and we should forget about it. So,
which is okay, but let's, as we forget about it, we have so much to thank everybody else for, right? Not just Paul, but all the guests who have joined us. We have some notes from them we'll be playing throughout the show. Andy, with his music, will be playing some of those throughout the show. But really, it's the Dirty Siders, right, who support us, who listen, who tune in. We appreciate all of you so very much. We have a massive 100 seconds of DRS montage, which we'll play towards the end, as we always do with 100 seconds. But if you've been on the 100 seconds, you will be reflected in the montage, so you do not want to miss it. That will come up shortly.
You will be reflected at least four times, because I painstakingly went through and cropped together everybody who's ever been on DRS. So yeah, you've got to stay around for it.
And tell your friends to listen. We're going to tag a lot of you as we do this as best we can when we launch this tomorrow. So where do people listen to The Dirty Side from? 51% from the U.S. of A, which is great because we are America's leading Formula One podcast, asterisk, according to my mom. So if anyone has forgotten why that's said, that's why. She will probably try to figure out how to listen to this and once again have to ask me how to access podcasts. 20% from the UK, 6% Canada, 4% Australia, 3% the Netherlands, Denmark, Israel, Germany, France, with honorable mentions just under 1% for South Africa, Ireland, India, Switzerland, Sweden, Spain, Norway, and Hungary. So all of you who listen, thank you. And we appreciate you joining us on The Dirty Side. And please tell a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we can't just do stats that are that self-indulgent. We need to put the F1 lens through this. So over the 100 episodes, we have covered 43 races. If we start from Abu Dhabi 21, which was our first ever recap.
Oh, God. Yeah.
What a race to start on. And all the way through to Brazil last week. 43 races, which... had to pull the stats together here, and I didn't deduct things like Japan when we ran short because of the rain. I just took the lap count of every race that we could have had,
which is good.
It's close enough. So approximately the Dirty Side has covered 2613 racing laps. We've been talking on this pokey little pod a number of times about how dominant Max and Red Bull have been, and when I pulled the next set of stats together, it was like, yeah, they really have. So we have reviewed races where Max has won 33 times out of the 43 races we've covered.
Ascari-ish.
It's insane. We've commented on Checo winning four times, Charles winning three, Carlo winning two, and George winning one. If you'd have told me when me and you sat together to come up with this, and you said that when we hit our 100th show and we will have reviewed 43 races in that time, you will never have said the word Lewis Hamilton is a race winner in those 100 episodes, I would have thought you were crazy.
Agreed.
Absolutely crazy.
Didn't see it coming.
Didn't see it coming. Oh, man. But then we get the driver standings, the championship, the Dirty Side 100 championship. Not a surprise. Champion, Max, 1,004 points. He's accumulated 1,004 points while we've been reviewing races. Checo second, 563. Lewis third, 484. Charles, 479. Carlos, 453. George, 431. Lando, 323. Alonso, 283. Ocon, 140. And to round out the top 10, the gas man squeaking in with 95 points.
The gas man. I love it. So I feel, Paul, you feel all right if we play like one of the guests' notes to the 100th? You're right if we play a note here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Permission.
Yeah. All right, yeah, what's it going to do with me? You know, you do the video.
I'll tell you what it is, Paul, is he can't find the right tab on his computer, so he's padding so he can try and find it. That's
we're
gonna
start
going
with
here.
A note from none other than James Coker.
Hey all, James Coker here. I just want to give a big congrats to Brian and Rob on their 100th episode of Dirty Side of the Track, America's leading Formula One podcast.
According to my
Brian
mom.
And Rob are very close and dear friends of mine. They are godfathers to my many children, and I just have a very special place in my heart for the both of them. Congratulations, guys. Also, I don't have many. Hey, all.
And also, we're not godfather either, but, you know, there we go.
Oh, James, that was great. Thank you so much for doing that. And Rob, you know, a little bit about Andy. You want to talk about how you know Andy and how he's done all this music for us?
Oh, yeah. Well, you're completely deserting the notes right now. That's you look at you catching
like
me.
Like I told you, we're sprinkling it in throughout, baby.
Yeah, so Andy's a good school friend of mine. Met him at middle school, and he's a legend with a guitar. And he just suddenly started volunteering to do... Well, actually, dropped the first one on us by surprise, didn't he? The sandwich after your sandwich ran,
yes.
All of a sudden an email dropped into our inbox, which was him creating a song that... sampled your rant about you don't name a sandwich after the bread. Have you got that a little dabble of that one queued up to play?
I'm ready. Is that where you're laid to start?
Well, given that I've just spoken about it, it would probably make the most sense.
And here it comes. It has a little lead in because it's a video inspired by my rant at this tweet. And here it goes.
Yep. Sandwich. Someone messing bread on the sides of his face. And he put Mercedes emblem
buttons on each piece of bread, and they wrote a Mercedes sandwich.
No.
And they wrote a Mercedes sandwich.
No.
If you take peanut butter and jelly, it's not bread sandwich. Thing in the middle, it's not bread sandwich.
No, no.
The meat.
No, no.
Chicken salad, ham, bologna, turkey, tuna, cheese. I don't care. That's what the sandwich is called. That's what the sandwich is called.
You cannot call it a Mercedes.
No, that'll do.
Oh, amazing. So I once listened to that in a Tesla as we were charging it in Florida with my family, and I showed them the video in the Tesla, went to the Tesla, and they go, "Dad, what's wrong with you?" And I said, "You guys have never seen the Sandwich Rant song?"
Yeah, and it kind of stemmed from there, so we'll sprinkle in a few more of his songs as we go. He's got a back catalogue now, actually. There's a Dirty Side album that Andy could be releasing, I think, which is phenomenal. So, as well as covering races, we had to try to come up with something to fill dead space. One of those things we came up with for out-of-season or non-race weekends was Vale's Tales, where we took a look at some of the careers of some big names. I didn't think we'd done eight of them, but apparently have. We've done Jim Clark, Michael Schumacher, Niki Lauda, Stirling Moss, Fangio, Ascari, Mansell, and their latest one was Newey.
I love the Vale's Tales. Can I just say this? I actually really enjoy those more than I probably should. And I'm actually really looking forward to the offseason, so hopefully we start doing more of them throughout the offseason, because I feel like I learn a lot. And we obviously chose people of a generation prior to ours, more often than not, with the exception of Adrian Newey, but most of his was a generation prior to ours. So it was fascinating to learn these things. And Paul, you provided some great insights to Schumacher, and you kind of gave us some thoughts about other people as we've done this. And your Braun GP episode is an incredibly popular episode. It may not have made the top five, but as we watch the video come out in 4 days on Hulu, I think people should go check out the Braun GP episode. So I think we got a lot of Vale's Tales in us yet.
Yeah, I was going to like double down on that one as well. Vale's Tales, there's loads of stuff in there which I didn't even know. So not that I'm an oracle of F1 by any means, but yeah, it's very good, to be fair. And it is actually, if people have listened to them, you really need to. And even if it's a driver who you've never heard of, it doesn't matter, because the history and everything that gets spoke about, it's done really well. So yeah, I will give you some credit for that. It's pretty good.
Although the Michael Schumacher one, the best insight into there was nothing we found online researching. It came from your lips about him punching you in the nads. So that is still one of my favorite.
No, it was
moments.
Him putting the team members' pictures on the driver's room.
No,
so
no,
he
no.
Get their names. That was my favorite.
That might be your favorite. My favorite.
Both
is
from Paul.
Paul being punched in the nuts by Schumi. Yeah. That's still my favorite, because I'm a child and I appreciate that more.
I'm a child. I can't even tie this darn bow tie. I just got to make it look like I'm Frank Sinatra at the end of the night.
Yeah, I was going to say, being whacked in the knackers by Michael Schumacher is... okay, listen, there's people around the world who would pay a lot of money to be whacked in the knackers by a racing driver, let alone Michael Schumacher. So as painful as it was, as embarrassing as it was, and as gruesome as it was, I'm honored to have been whacked in the knackers by Michael Schumacher.
I think
just,
we've...
Just a quick...
I think we found the soundbite for the episode right
there. I was going to say, yeah. Quick question before, because this might lead into the next part here. Have Valtteri ever whacked you in the knackers?
No, Tiffany has. She did it. I think I've mentioned it before. It's sort of an F1 thing where, if you know, you will get whacked in the knackers. And we were in a bar in Austin last year called Pete's Piano Bar. If anyone's been to Austin, there's piano bars, dueling piano bars everywhere. And she found it funny how, as a group of men, we all loved whacking each other in the knackers. It sounds as it sounds. So she decided she'd join in. I went over some safe space. And for a first attempt at whacking the knackers, she got it absolutely spot on. It was a beautiful, beautiful whack. And, you know, if anyone's been whacked in the knackers, if it gives you the stomach ache and it gives you the lack of oxygen, then it's good. And it's, you know, I struggle to applaud her, but now I look back, it deserves, you know, a tip of the hat too. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, the reason I brought up Valtteri is because we've been absolutely honored. Again, go back all the way to the beginning. Episode one, someone put a list in front of us and said, oh, by the way, when you get to 100 episodes, you will have spoken to Jacques Villeneuve, Valtteri Bottas. That would have been insane enough. But then, as Brian often says, the F1 community is so kind of generous with their time that we're nobodies. We've got us, you know, we love all the dirty siders that listen to us, but, you know, we're not kind of the big, up in the big leagues. So for people like Break F1, Nate Saunders, Molly from Tech Heads, and now, what's the new one called?
Breaking Molly's Bias. On now.
Yeah, Breaking Bias. There we go. With Dr. Obbs, who also came on. Matt Bishop, who we heard in the song that led us in, was amazing. Matt Trumpet, Spanners, those two from Mist Apex, as well as Antonia. James Coker, who apparently we're godfathers to children for. Dre Harrison from WTF1, and then someone mutually kind of introduced through a Valtteri Paul connection is Rob Reed, who's been on a number of times as well. So
should we hear from Rob Reed right now?
Let's do it.
This is Rob Reed.
Hey now. What's up, Rob and Brian? The dirty side of the track, getting dirtier with every episode, all the way to 100. Congrats, guys. Man, you guys crush it every single week. I'm honored to be a part of the Dirty Side story. I'm honored to be a fan, to be a guest. You guys, I love how you guys just have like completely different opinions, and the perspective that you bring to Formula One is just amazing. It's so authentic. It's deep. It's authentic. It's real. It's raw. You're happy to admit when you're wrong. You celebrate when you're right. And I look forward to, you know, another 100. I look forward to coming on the show whenever you have me. So congrats again, guys. 100. Wow, that's huge. And let's do away with DRS while we're at it, okay?
Oh, cheers. A shot at the end about DRS.
So, yeah, that's no, he's been great every time he's come on. And I kind of liked some of his stories when he was, because he's obviously coming through F1 kind of via Paul and Valtteri through the cycling side of things, which was doing his Forbes articles, which was fantastic. And then as well as kind of like the those types of guests that we've had on, we've also had some collaboration with Fifth Wheel podcast. We've been on with them a couple of times. The I Give a F1 podcast, we met up with those ladies two months ago maybe.
That's about right.
And then about a year ago now, we also met up with Kyle at the Petrolhead Cafe. So it's just been great. It's just like, I never thought we'd actually have anybody listen, and I never thought we'd actually have people want to come on to talk to us that nobody was listening to. So to kind of have that little kind of guest ensemble, and a number of them we reached out to see if they'd like to sort of say hi to us on our 100th. You know, people went to the effort of doing it, like James and like Rob and some others that we're going to hear later. So it's just been brilliant. It's amazing.
It is. It really is. And, you know, I've told the story often that when Valtteri joined the podcast, Paul, thanks again, when we were sitting here on Zoom and the window opened up, and it said Valtteri, and he was there. It wasn't the podcaster, Brian, that was excited. It was the F1 fan, Brian, that was excited. And for that, reasons like that, the conversations we get to have and the people we get to meet, the Dirty Siders we chat with, and the drivers and journalists and content creators and everybody in and amongst the sport, Paul's perspectives, which make me laugh on a weekly basis, this is awesome. And I can't thank everybody enough. So I'm loving it.
I would just say the intro, I think it's the first 30 seconds of the Jacques Villeneuve episode when Rob went into some strange, strange universe in his head and no idea what was coming out of his mouth. And it was
No idea.
What I'm saying is as well, like, you have to remember that you two guys are fans of the sport. It's not like you're it's not a normal situation for you to be in if you're fans of F1 to all of a sudden bang your face to face virtually with someone who, you know, one of the drivers or someone in the sport. So when your reactions are, you know, similar to what Reed said in his thing, it's raw, it's emotional, it's good and it's proper. So yeah, it's actually good to see. I mean, it's funny. It's good to see.
I mean, I always kind of like in that moment, like, because, like, for me, like growing up as well, like late 90s, him as a world champion, to say that I was like virtually face to face to him as he's lying on his hotel bed, paint me like one of your ladies style. I was like, what the hell is happening here? I think I couldn't have been any more nervous in that moment unless probably it was a football podcast and I was interviewing Dennis Bergkamp. Like that would have been probably the only thing that I probably would have been even in my head. They were that kind of level. And like you say, Paul, we're fans. We're not trained to know how to talk to these people. And we've told this story many times. Like we massively did a 180 on what we were going to talk to Jack about, like about totally. 24 hours before we spoke to him. And then thankfully you gave us the feedback afterwards that he seemed to enjoy doing it. And we'd asked him some stuff that he hadn't been asked before. So for me, that was like, oh my God, I'll take that. That's a win.
Well, I mean, you deserve the credit, Rob. We may make fun of you for completely freezing up with Jack. Like completely, like deer in the headlights. You go, and now Brian. And I'm like, well, that's not what we'd planned, but okay. And I'm like, you're the only Indy 505 winner. I'm like, all right. So I took off. And with Valtteri, when you told him that Daniel Ricciardo had interviewed him, but clearly
I know.
Same time, you were the one who recognized we'd written a biography about Jack. And you looked at it, you go, all we're doing is reading him stats about himself and stories. Like, let's change this up. So if you hadn't have done that, see, Rob, you're valuable. You do something around here.
I do something, yeah.
And that's the thing with these guys as well. I know I've mentioned before. They do hundreds of these interviews all the time. And to them, it's just robot mode. Like, yes, I do like coffee. Yes, I do like cycling. And it's, you know, so when you guys are sort of doing it more from the like emotion side of it, doing it because you really want to do it, some of the questions you ask and the way that you engage with them, it's somewhat different for them, so they enjoy it a lot more. So, listen, a lot of credit has to go to you two guys for that, because you're right, you're not media trained, and that shows in a positive way. Don't ask the same boring questions week after week, day after day. Yes, he drinks coffee. Yes, he cycles. It's sort of like, oh. So, yeah, it's good. Like it.
Sorry, Paul, I saw a video the other day, and I can't remember which, it might have been Austin, that Valtteri was being asked a series of rapid-fire questions by somebody at probably Sky Sports or something, which I was getting very annoyed at, which was treading on the lines of 100 seconds of DRS. I mean, if they'd have broken out the duck-sized horses one, I was ready to sue.
Well, speaking of Valtteri, should we play a little bit of Andy's music, the Valtteri song?
Well, in a second, let's... Okay. Because we're saying, like, people that deserve credit, and obviously we're going to be giving credit to Paul a lot here, but if we think about all the people that kind of just given up their time to do stuff that we probably use on a regular basis, so let's go first and foremost, my brother Chris, for the guitar that plays us in and out 100 times now, so 200 times at least his music
well done,
has played, I guess. And that was brilliant because it was thrown together with a stupid little brief that I sent him saying, I want a really high-pitched guitar that almost matches like a V10, that's just some sort of thrashy music that we can put a car going past to it. And he spent about 2 hours and sent me a file over and goes, does something like this work? And that was pretty much one shot. I think he might have tidied it up once, but fair play to him and also to my neighbor Jim, who came up with a great idea that really the 100 seconds of DRS needed bit more drama. It needed a music bed to play underneath it, and he volunteered to compose the 100 seconds of DRS music. So Chris and Jim, just brilliant, thank you. But yeah, Andy, we played the sandwich song. When we knew Valtteri was coming on, I just got this stupid thing going around my head that I just thought the Zooton song Valerie would work really well to have the lyrics of Valtteri go over it. So I kind of sketched these lyrics out, but I'm in no way musically inclined. So I just sent them to Andy and said, can you do anything with this?
And he did.
And the answer is yes. So we're going to put
a little bit of...
I was going to say, but just before we play, everything that we've got for Andy that we've ever put on YouTube, there won't be a video vault this week. We'll replace the video vault with all the videos that he's done the music for. So we'll give a little snippet now, but if you want to hear the whole thing, the links will be in the show notes.
Well, sometimes I record with the sap and I talk across the Zoom call. As I think since we come on in, well, we've had some epic guests, and I'm should come on the podcast, Valtteri.
Amazing. Amazing. And actually, he references some epic guests. Here's one of them with a note on the 100 episodes.
Hi, Matt Bishop here of the motorsport and automotive PR agency Diagonal Comms, the motor racing focused LGBTQ plus movement Racing Pride, and the 99-year-old magazine Motorsport, and its obviously newer website, motorsportmagazine.com. Congrats to all involved in the creation of the Dirty Side of the Track podcast for making it to 100 episodes. Bravo!
Thank you, Matt. That's awesome.
I love his bravo. Do you know what? I would never have even thought that he would have been on my bucket list of kind of like people to talk to, because I will honestly admit I didn't know that much about him before we kind of started hunting him down. I would have thought Jacques and Valtteri would have been not the better guests, but they're the bigger guests. But Matt Bishop's ability to tell a story, I literally just felt like me and you just sat like two kids on a rug in front of Grandpa in front of the fire where he just told us F1
stories. I mean, let's not call him Grandpa. But it was 6 a.m. for me on a Saturday, and I was hungover from here to the moon. And we get on there, and we're trying to have like a serious discussion. And somehow it cleared all the cobwebs because his stories were unbelievable. And I said this on the episode where we played it, and I've said it since. I would have actually paid real money to have had that privilege of hearing his stories and insights. Brilliant. He was fantastic.
He was. Okay, so we got Andy and his music, my uni roommate Gary for doing the animation for our DRS advert, and the new YouTube animated intro, which features all three of us actually in animated form. So never thought that the three of us would exist as kind of almost a cartoon. And then we've got listener stat jingles. I kind of mentioned it earlier on. I said we should play one, but
here, I got two of them. I'll play both listener ones that were not my friend Mark or his son Jade, and here's one of them. I mean, how do you not love that? That's fantastic. And thank you guys so much for sending those in. That is just amazing. And we obviously, Mark and his son Jaden, have done a bunch, and we found a few others. Lee and his Nokia ringtone intro that he found on the web. I mean, all these are tremendous, but obviously Slap House is special to us, which is why it led off the show. So yeah, totally agree, Rob.
And what you just mentioned, Lee, who is part of the Discord community, that's been brilliant as well. And those guys are amazing, and they, you know, we're always having chats over there. There's kind of a core group, but I just feel it's wrong to name absolutely everybody on there. We got the Discord episode that they featured on. We're trying to do another one, and I don't want to try to name them off the top of my head, Brian, because we're going to miss somebody and I'm going to upset anybody. So we're just going to call them the Discord Massive. You're amazing. We do want to do another episode. We'll probably do some sort of maybe post-season review with you guys if you'll agree to come back on again.
I think that'd be great.
And I was going to say, last but not least, we've got to thank Pit Lane Paul, but we kind of thanked him at the beginning, and just now it looks like his signal in the middle of Salt Lake City is cut out on him, so we've actually dropped Paul at the moment. So
we'll come back to Paul.
He'll be back. And if so, not, we can now just say rude things about him while he's not here.
So, Rob, what are some of your favorite memories of doing this so far?
Well, yeah, if we're going to kind of, I know we've got a sort of pad to see if Paul drops back in again, because I kind of want to hear we did that clip that we thought sort of sums up what Paul contributes when here he comes. He's coming back in now, folks. So live and exclusive again from Salt Lake City. He's back. So we wanted to do a few sound bites. Now, we've done the first ever Hey Now, so Brian's already played that one. And then the other two involve Paul. We found a clip. I mean, anybody that is happening to listen to this for the first time, you're completely confused. But just to kind of go over it again, what Paul does for us is every race weekend without fail. So that's we probably hadn't started it with Abu Dhabi, so it won't be 43, but 42 race reviews Paul has phoned in. And Paul's race reviews have got some recurring themes. Yes, there is obviously a review of the race. Well, he sets himself up at this. He will accuse himself of being miserable. Then he will try to say that he's going to be more optimistic. And then he will sprinkle in travel facts about where he is in the world, which
he's
is just like,
yes.
He's got a career after F1 of like being one of these people that go and do travel shows around the world for holiday companies. But anyway, have you got the clip from Silverstone that kind of encapsulates all those pieces? And the icing on the cake is the insight he gives us from the track, the stuff that we probably don't think about when we watch it. So it's kind of the Hit Lane exclusive viewpoint. So
if it's Paul in a nutshell, then yes, I have that clip here.
It's called Paul in a Nutshell. I'm very, very straight with my naming.
So just in the car trying to get out of Silverstone. This could take a while. The traffic in this place is pretty chaotic after the race. And that's probably the last negative thing I am going to say about Silverstone Grand Prix, apart from wow, wow, wow. How amazing was that? Now, I don't know where to start. I'll start by saying that, obviously, Guanyu Zhao, he's okay, he's fine. He went and had his medical checks, and everything's okay, nothing fractured. And, yeah, he was actually in quite good spirits. So, yeah, look. Hey, that's as big a crash as you ever want to see in this sport. That was huge. And it also, I mean, the thing is, it gives you a good indication of just how fast those cars actually pull off the line. You know, you think he was only, let's say, maybe 80 metres into the race, and that's the impact that he gets. So, yep, look, that's remarkable. That's a big crash. Let's make no mistake, that is a big crash. He's okay. That's the main thing.
So I cut that down, but it goes on, and that's what we loved about it, Paul. We loved the honesty. We loved the like things that we hadn't even thought about. Like, yeah, watching that replay, like how fast did Joe get off the line before he ends up being upside down and going across the gravels? So just, I want to say thank you, Paul. I want to say thank you so much for doing these race reviews. But then we have to play the next clip where maybe I'm not quite so thankful. Have we got the Brian and Paul betray Rob clip?
This Brian. Was actually one of my favorites. Well, Paul, we'll talk about this as it wraps up here.
So I have a little surprise for Rob now. The reason Paul ended that with, I'm proud to be British, is there was a little debate in the Dirty Side office recently. All right, we are really lucky to have a little extra session with Pit Lane Paul. In the last couple weeks, Paul and I have gone back and forth that some of the things Rob has said have kind of stuck in Paul's ear. And on the week of the British Grand Prix, thought it'd be appropriate to highlight one of those and allow Paul a chance to talk about it a little.
And then I remembered it was the final day of the English Premier League in soccer, so I had to watch that first.
Well, so Paul, what do you think about Rob's little soundbite there?
To be honest, it offended me to the point that I had to reach out to you. And it's, I mean, the two things that are wrong. And the Premier League. Whoever says that in the world, it's Premier League. It's been the Premier League for years. And Rob, even being as passionate as he is with supporting Arsenal, and who's also my team, I find it amazing that he's come out with that line. He's probably trying to pander to your audience. But at the end of the day, Rob is British, and there's no getting away with that. I will touch on soccer as well, because soccer is one of those things that drives me insane. Now, I've done some research to make sure that I got this correct. The first game of soccer, or association football, because it's called football, it's not called soccer, it's called football, was in 1857. And I thought, well, that's fair, because, you know, you've got your NFL, American football, so, you know, who came first? And it actually turns out the first recorded American football game was 1869, so we actually beat you by 12 years. Therefore, it's football. That is fact. End of conversation on that one. But that sound clip with the Premier League, soccer, and he has often, I've noticed, struggled to say the word garage.
Yes.
When we're discussing things, he tends to go for this garage, which.
It's not a full American garage, but it's close. It's definitely closer than whatever the hell word you just said in British.
Oh, the best part is I'm laughing on top of the clip where I'm laughing. So I apologize for anyone who heard me laughing twice. But Paul, that was fun. Oh, Rob, you can stop talking for a minute. Paul, that was fun when you reached out and we did that.
Yeah, well, listen. So I know we've spoke about this one before, but I actually grew up probably 80 meters from Rob's house. And I mean, you can tell by my accent, I'm still pretty much middle of England, rural Worcestershire. I've got a strange dialect. Even with a strange dialect, I wouldn't use a word like garage in Premier. Like, just be proud of where you're from, mate. You don't have to try and, you know, just because you're an American podcast, Brian makes up for the Americanness on the podcast.
I take care of the rest.
Just stop trying to be American.
I think I've been better ever since you two schooled me in Silverstone last year. So
I gotta say, like, I remember distinctly sitting in my old job in my office when Paul and I were WhatsApping each other about this, and I came home and I was so excited to record this. And when we played it, your face, because we didn't do YouTubes then, your face was fantastic. Paul, if you'd seen Rob's face, he was like, what is happening?
I was cut deep by your betrayal, the two of you. It was worse than a smack in the nads.
It was funny though, wasn't it? Let's be honest. It was good.
So good. And Paul, one more thing. While we're here with Paul and really highlighting many of the things he's done, I think it's worth an Andy song about Paul, if that's all right. I'm going to play a little snippet.
When we were trying to, I think we was rounding out the season and we wanted to kind of do something for Paul. My lyric, I'd been watching a lot of Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
And Chris Pratt, a.k.a. Star-Lord, a.k.a. Andy from Parks and Recreation, did a song called The Pit. And I was like, I wonder if we could redo some lyrics. So same little thing, sketch some lyrics out, send them over to Andy, who then commandeered, apparently, a friend of his, sounds like a real rock star, that he was dropping off at an airport, I believe, and sort of said, well, I'll give you a ride, but we've got to record this in the car before you can get out to catch your plane. So this was recorded, the vocals for this were recorded, I believe, in a car. And then, so...
by a well-spoken gentleman, as they'd say on Top Gear, and here it is.
Hey, this is Duff McKagan, and you're listening to the Dirty Side of the Track podcast. I'm here with Pit Lane Paul.
Pits. Paul is in on the pits. He reports from the pits. We all feel we're in the pits.
A little bit more.
Pits. Paul is in on the pits. He sees stars in the pits. We all feel we're in the pits.
One bit of chorus.
Okay.
Chorus.
Paul is in on the pits.
First chorus, then you can cut it.
Travel
facts. Here it comes.
Sometimes race is gonna get you down, but travel owes Paul takes a look around and brings you country facts while he's standing in the pits.
Amazing. And the full YouTube video with actual, like, a video to it with images.
I went and raided all the images I could find from Paul's Instagram and Facebook accounts of celebs he'd met, and we made a little video to go with it. So yeah, I mean, you asked me like which were my like favorite memories, and I mean a bunch of those have already made it. I won't rehash the whole story of the Villeneuve episode and scrambling to get there, but I do remember one of the first interviews when Paul came on and I published the whole episode, despite the fact that we'd all got together and gone, there's that big bit in the middle where I think Paul's headphones died or something. And we're having this conversation about, don't worry, I know how to edit it. We'll edit out the bit at the end. No one will ever know any of this happened. And then Doofus Vale went and published the episode without cropping that out. And someone got in touch with me and said, I don't think it was either of you two. I think it was actually somebody, like, it might have even been Lee. Kind of somebody reached out and went, I think you forgot to edit the middle of the episode. And I was like, so never did that again.
I'm pretty good with a technical failure. Like, the reason I disappeared a few minutes ago is because I sort of had my phone on the dashboard, leant against the windshield.
Did it get too hot?
Sort of flashing up and, like, you know, my phone's got too hot. So yeah, that's why I know, sort of like weak, like holding it around in my hand. So even though it's quite close, there's snow in the mountains, but yeah, I can still manage to have a technical difficulty with my equipment. That sounds horrendous, but yeah, it's great. And those songs are fantastic. And I know Andy. I've known Andy a lot of years, so I know how good he is, but to actually have your own song is quite emotional. It's quite emotional.
Pretty amazing. Amazing. I'd like to put one memory of my own in at this point, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
We've heard a lot from people with an accent, according to Americans. So, you know, one of the things that sticks in my mind that, again, made me feel as though we weren't nobodies, that people appreciated the fact that we are nice people who are part of the community. Not important, but just that we're part of the community, was on Sunday in Canada. And I'm not going to go through the whole story again, but Paul got us into the paddock and you told us where to be and we were there and you told us not to dress like a certain thing and we didn't and we were ready and we were standing at the bridge. And exactly. And we were there and we were ready and you brought us into the paddock and it was unbelievably amazing. And we gave you a lot of thanks then. I give you thanks now, not just for allowing us that amazing experience, but really because it was free beer. And like it was $11 a beer on the other side. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but I had three beers in the Alpha like hospitality tent. That's $33 I saved. And even Canadian, that counts like real money. I could go out and buy more beers. But no, I'm kidding. My point is we were sitting in that little corner table on the patio in front of the Alpha hospitality. We saw Valtteri go by. We left him alone, let him do his thing. We saw a lot of drivers. We acted like we'd been there until we saw George. At which point Rob freaked out. Oh, George Russell, it's George Russell.
Why don't we need to go there again? And we met Jacques Villeneuve.
Yeah, the Gordon Ramsay. I mean, okay. But so the big deal to me, in my memory, was Paul, you were off working, and Rob and I were sitting at the corner table, and Rob's looking at his phone, and I see Nate Saunders walk by. And we've had Nate on a couple times at this point, and Rob had met Nate for a beer in Connecticut, and I'm like, oh, that's Nate. I go, hey, Nate. And I basically stand up and yell this across the paddock. As he's walking, and the whole, like, what the hell's yelling? Hey, Nate. And Nate turns and walks over, and it was so cool that he goes, hey, Brian and Rob, how are you guys doing? And then Paul came back.
That was cool.
And we got to introduce Nate to Paul and Paul to Nate. And I'm like, oh, my God, we just connected people who work in the same sport who probably know each other but are being nice about it. And Nate was kind enough to send us a thought on our 100th episode, and here it is.
Hey, Brian and Rob. This is Nate Saunders here from ESPN. Congratulations on 100 episodes. That's amazing. And thanks for having me on for, I think, two or three of them. I'm so sorry. I've lost track, but I've had a great time every time I've been on. Here's to another 100. And yeah, looking forward to seeing you guys again soon, maybe randomly bumping into you in a paddock. That was fun in Montreal. And yeah, good luck. And congratulations on the achievement so far.
So again, that wouldn't have been possible without Paul allowing us to join the paddock. But the fact that we knew somebody who didn't treat us like a hanger-oner, but rather as, you know, a part of the group under the tent, that made my day.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we did the whole episode on Canada, so I won't regurgitate it. But I will just say that I loved when we then bumped into my crew from the Iron Horse Bar down here in Connecticut. And a little shout out to Melissa, Kat, Jeff and Sam.
The best.
So it was great. We just hung out with them and had beers in the beer garden. I mean, lots of our stories seem to result in beer, which I will then get the jab into myself before one of you two do the I don't finish beers, apparently, just because it happened once.
I didn't once cross my mind. Not once. When Brian mentioned the three beers and hospitality, not once do I feel like chipping in and saying Rob only had two because he couldn't finish a third. But not once did it cross my mind.
The best part was, and I mean, I mentioned this in passing, but when we were ripping on Rob late that Friday night, early that Saturday morning in Montreal, and I was drinking Coors Lights, I think, as was Paul, and Rob's drinking, like, you know, IPAs. I go, Rob, these aren't so hard. And I grabbed one of his extra 40 beers that were sitting there because he was waiting to get to them. And I started
40.
Pounding them. And I drank half of it as fast as I could. And I almost threw up because, like, that's really thick. And I didn't say anything to anybody. I just sat there turning green, polished it off, and then went back to my regular course thinking, don't ever do that again. That was so close to me vomiting in the middle of the bar. You can't pound an IPA. That was a big mistake
you
on
can't.
My part.
You
I did,
can't, but
I shouldn't have.
No, but I'm not even going to use that as an excuse. That's my fault. I was out with guys that are drinking regular beer. I should have stay in my lane, stick with the regular beer, and then I wouldn't. But anyway, you know, it's fine. It's fine.
It's a good time.
Any kind of, I don't want to do the memory lane for the entire thing, but I think those are, other than obviously all the big highlights, is Canada and its whole weekend was one. I got one last one, which was just like a fandom thing, and we've already used the clip twice already on this show. Is the Duff selfie from Monaco when Paul sent me his race review and was like, "Oh, enjoy the guest." I'm like, "What?" And then I hit play and heard, "Oh, this is Duff McKagan." I was like, "Yeah, it's not. He's just got someone with an accent to say it is." And I went back on WhatsApp and went, "That's not Duff." And within about 10 seconds, maybe less, I had a WhatsApp selfie on my phone of Duff and Paul flicking me the bird, and it's one of my favorite pictures I've ever
it's
received.
Amazing.
So what about you, Brian, before we move towards the 100 seconds of DRS montage, what's some of your highlights?
I got a couple that I'd highlight real quick. We'll save a few more of the guests, but a couple collaborations that I want to just note. And so obviously meeting people from other podcasts, and we'll save some of those. But again, the sort of inclusive approach to the environment, F1 Twitter can be so toxic at times. And if you watch Drive to Survive, you're not a real fan, you can't be part of the tent. Well, F that. The dirty side is all about bringing everybody in to have fun and love F1. And we leave everybody with a smile at the end of every episode. And whether it was Kyle from Petrolhead Cafe, who joined us, and I'll play his clip in a second, or the guys from the Fifth Wheel, where we've collabed once or twice, I'm going to play that right after it. I love the fact that this community is big enough for everybody. And we've obviously had Spanners, and we've talked about Ms. Apex, and formerly the Tech Heads, and now Dr. Obbs and Molly. We'll play those. But here's a couple podcast collabs with Petrolhead and Fifth Wheel that I'd want to highlight that just, again, remind how amazing this community is.
Howdy. This is Kyle with Petrolhead Cafe and the Petrolhead Podcast. What I like most about the Dirty Side of the Track podcast is how well organized each episode is. I really applaud Rob and Brian for sticking to and adhering strictly to the format that they've set for themselves. As Jeremy Clarkson might say, the Dirty Side of the Track is quite simply the best Formula One podcast in the world.
So that was Kyle, and the Fifth Wheel guys did a great little note for us as well.
Here, hey, this is Achintia.
And Doug.
And Andrew.
And Jay.
From the Fifth Wheel Podcast, calling in to say huge congratulations on reaching 100 episodes.
Even though you did have Lance as your third best driver.
That's Rob.
And even though you told us never to mention that again.
And even though you guys love tires way too much.
That's me.
Despite all that, Rob, Brian, we still want to say congrats and wish you all the best. Here's to 100 more episodes.
Thanks to the Fifth Wheel guys. That was awesome to do that. So yeah, no, Rob, you've nailed a lot of the great memories. Like I said, I've enjoyed talking to people who love F1.
Yeah. How many more thank yous have we got?
We have three more.
So let's hit the final, let's scoop around the thank yous, and then we'll segue beautifully into the wonderful world of DRS.
Okay, we can do that. So as Rob already mentioned, we've, you know, had a lot of different collaborations and conversations, and one of the ones that probably floored me the most because of her youth was Antonia. The knowledge she has as a person far younger than we are is far greater than I have at this point. Slightly younger than half our age. But she was an amazing guest, and we really appreciate her coming on. And here's Antonia.
Heya, I'm Antonia Rankin. I'm a motorsports presenter and content creator, and I was privileged enough to be on an episode of The Dirty Side a couple of months back. Congratulations, you guys, on 100 episodes. Such an exciting milestone, and I can't wait to see what you guys get up to in the future.
Well, she was fantastic. And then we were lucky enough, as we said, to have Dr. Obbs on. And it was a really fun conversation. And with all of these, right, we would stop recording. And then with Antonia and Fifth Wheel and Nate and everyone, we'd keep talking. But Dr. Obbs, we chatted for quite some time afterwards as well. And here's Dr. Obbs.
Hello, Brian and Rob. This is Dr. Obbs. Just want to say big congratulations on 100 episodes of Dirty Side of the Track Pod. Keep putting out great content, boys. Congrats.
Thanks to Dr. Obbs and his partner in crime, Molly, also sent us.
Congratulations, Brian, Rob, and the entire Dirty Side of the Track pod. From Molly over on Breaking Bias, on smashing an absolutely incredible milestone and hitting your 100th episode. Cheers, guys. Here's to 100 more.
Thanks, Molly. And so those are the notes that were sent in there. And one last, can we play one last a little bit of Andy before we get to the DRS?
Oh, Yeah. Where do you want to go next?
Well, a very personal one to me. So Rob has skills. We'll call him Twinkie Fingers when it comes to putting pictures on audio and making videos out of it. And I said at one point, I go, hang on, I got this one. So Andy had made a Miami Vice F1 theme mashup, and I said, I'll make the video. And I was so excited. I opened up a new box of wine, and I sat down with my computer in hand, and I said, here we go. And I made the video to this, and this will be linked. Obviously, only on the podcast, you'll only hear Andy's good work. But if you want to see my terrible work,
you'll hear the best part of it.
Exactly. But this was fantastic.
I
and it continues on through the entire song. It is fantastic. I will say the video is great. I basically took the Miami Vice intro, put it over that, and then put drivers on it. It's that good. You should check it out.
It is a work of art. You should definitely go to that one first before any of the other links that we put in the show notes, because it is Brian getting his crayons out.
Oh, God.
Right, okay. So, I've got to give kudos to Brian for this, because this was his baby. We wanted to get people to come on and have a chat, and then we wanted to do something fun with them. So he came up with this idea of 100 seconds of DRS, the whatever it was, the fastest quiz show
in F1.
Yeah, which is a bit weird, because 100 seconds of DRS would be ridiculous. That would be like
an entire
lap. But you're
going fast because the wing is open.
So we've had these questions all the way through, variety of them we pick from. They're in our notes that we contain. They're kind of in two columns. One are the Formula One based questions, and then the others are the stupid questions like the duck sized horses and stuff. So we decided to pull it all together and make a montage of every single person that's been on DRS. We've got some SAP stats for our DRS coming up in a minute. But before we get there, Brian's a bit of a freelancer. He freestyles a bit. It kind of made this a bit more difficult, because when I was trying to do the stats and pull the questions together, we have something in there that says best current driver on the grid. So in order to kind of pull the stats together to find out what all the answers have been to that, I pulled them all together into one file. And then I saw there were some anomalies in there, and you'll hear it. There's some. So for best current drivers, you might not think actually are the best, because Brian, or best ever F1 driver, sometimes Brian, when he asks the question, will substitute favorite for best in, depending on what he's feeling on the day. Now, asking someone who their favorite F1 driver ever is versus the best ever is quite different. So it did make my stats a little bit skewed. So if you hear this and think some of them are a bit random, then that's probably down to Brian making it up as he goes along and not sticking to the questions written. But we normally have a DRS section that lasts about sort of 10, 15 minutes. We chat with people. We don't have a DRS chat. We have one DRS song, the longest 100 seconds of DRS ever. Are you ready, Brian?
I think this is the right file. Here it is. In
3, 2, 1,
begin. First poster you had on your bedroom wall?
Ferrari Testarossa and Carol Alt.
Picture of a scantily clad lady with something about beer.
Lee Majors as Steve Austin.
Carlos Reutemann, Brabham BT-44B.
Alcatraz.
Iron Maiden.
New Kids on the Block.
Michael Jordan.
Let's see, it would have been a Lamborghini Countach.
Cosmo Kramer from Seinfeld.
I think it was probably Eddie Van Halen.
Jerry Heidel.
Best F1 driver of all time.
Jensen Button.
Schumacher.
Oh, probably Schumacher.
I think that's going to be Senna for me.
It's a tie between Niki Lauda and Jackie Stewart.
Schumi.
Schumacher.
Mark Webber.
Mika Häkkinen.
I'll say Schumacher. I think 7 titles, the first one to do that, and what he did for Ferrari in those days, I'll say Schumi.
If you could add a James Bond-style gadget to an F1 car, what would it be?
I think you need the blades on the side of the tire. Get the elbows out.
Missile.
Ejector seat, and I won't tell you who I'd put in it.
That it would fly.
Thumbtacks out the back.
The guns that shoot out the side.
Not Mario Brothers weapons. Rocket launchers.
Invisibility.
Something that would make it fly.
I actually haven't watched any James Bond, but I like the Mario Kart banana.
Oh, it would have to be like something that would, I don't know, make it go into like hypersonic speed or something.
Smokescreen.
DRS, good or bad?
Oh, definitely good. In fact, I've added a wing to my car.
Good for what the series is. Wish we didn't need to use it.
Undecided.
Both.
Bad.
Good, but not perfect.
Overall, good. Mario or Luigi?
Who would say Luigi? Clearly Mario.
Neither. It's Pac-Man.
I have a Mario build, but I'm a Luigi inside.
Luigi.
Actually, I always took Funky Kong in Mario Kart.
Mario's so mainstream. I'll go Luigi.
Luigi.
I'm going to go with Mario, because I'm so short.
Mario, of course.
I've got a main character vibe.
It's a me, Mario.
F1 in America is...
fantastic, unless it's in Miami.
Fun?
The most popular motorsport currently by young demographic.
A great time. We should do it more.
What everyone in my Twitter feed seems to be talking about.
Growing.
Good for monetizing F1 podcasts.
Still underappreciated, but up and coming.
Best racing movie of all time.
Is it Rush, the one with Thor in it?
Days of Thunder.
I've got kids, so we watch Cars a lot.
Well, I'm a big Will Ferrell fan, so I gotta go Talladega Night.
Cars or Ford versus Ferrari?
Days of Thunder.
Ford vs. Ferrari.
Ooh. Grand Prix Driver.
Is it pronounced a GIF or JIF?
It's GIF, and anybody that says GIF is... I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. It's GIF, not JIF. Whoever says JIF is thinking about peanut butter.
GIF, 100%.
I'd say GIF, but I know I'm probably wrong.
So I always used to say GIF, but I believe it's JIF.
The person who came up with it says it's GIF, or JIF. It says it's JIF. So I'm going to say JIF.
Oh, that's a good one, because I always mess this up. I'm going to go with JIF.
I don't know. I'm going to say Jif.
What would you give to the winners instead of champagne?
Chocolates.
A vodka shot, and they have to keep a straight face.
Ooh, let's give them whiskey.
Tequila.
If you could get two drivers from different eras to go head-to-head, which would you pick?
Senna versus Lewis.
Jim Clark and Tazio Nuvolari.
Banjo and Lewis.
Lewis and Michael.
Senna and Gilles Villeneuve.
Frost and Hamilton.
Fangio and Senna.
There's a hot dog, a sandwich.
No.
Absolutely.
Yes.
No.
No.
No. Yes, it absolutely is.
Absolutely not.
Favorite non-motorsport sport?
Ultimate Frisbee?
I'd say rugby.
Curling?
IFL or rugby league?
Golf.
Golf.
Football, or soccer, I guess.
American football?
Pro basketball.
Ice skating.
Football.
Cycling.
First memory of F1?
Alain Prost's sweet, sweet throw.
And three?
Two.
Oh, you stopped it. Started it again.
I didn't. It did stop.
And three. Oh, Brian!
I didn't do anything. I was pointing at Paul. I don't know what happened.
One was reading about it in a GQ magazine this, 10 years ago, and so that was my
it'll
my
all
first
be great.
To,
the
I
whole
guess.
Video
if you
will
swap
be posted
the
online.
Cars
out in F1 for a different type of racing transportation. What would it be?
Double decker buses. That would be amazing.
Dump trucks.
Let's do like why not moped?
Go buses.
Hovercraft.
Electric scooters.
I quite would like the pods from Phantom Menace pod racing to have them all going around Tatooine like that. I think would be amazing.
Those little like kind of push bikes with no pedals.
Would you rather be chased by one horse-sized duck or 10 duck-sized horses?
10 duck-sized horses.
10 duck-sized horses.
I'm going to say one horse-sized duck.
10 duck-sized horses.
What? I think the duck-sized horses still, because you could at least get to high ground and then you'd be okay.
What?
One horse-sized duck.
One horse-sized duck, because I would love to see a duck that size. I mean, what a poor chicken.
Duck-sized horses. I don't like horses. They're not fun.
Tires, interesting or not interesting?
Oh, so interesting.
Very interesting.
Terribly interesting.
Super interesting. Sorry, Rob.
They are boring as hell. Yes. Any F1 podcaster that just bangs on about tires needs to resign themselves to forever being the co-host of Missed Apex Podcast.
Tires are everything. Without them, the car's going nowhere.
You can't, I gotta say, I'm sorry, you can't be an F1 fan and not appreciate a good tire.
Do you have any lucky superstitions?
If I hit one side of my body, I have to hit the other side just as hard so that it's even.
Lifting my feet up if I drive over a track.
Yeah, always have sexual reasoning.
Before every F1 race, I will drink a Bloody Mary.
Best F1 driver on the grid currently.
It's gotta be Max.
Alonso.
Norris or Russell, one of the two.
Max Verstappen.
I'd have to say Verstappen, but definitely not my favourite.
Leclerc.
Carlos Sainz.
Lewis Hamilton.
Bottas.
Lewis Hamilton.
Favorite F1 livery on a car all time?
Shadow ULP from the early 70s.
All time? Yeah. Oh, goodness. Okay. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Rothmans Williams.
That's got to be the 1997 Williams.
Oh, the white Red Bull.
Or Mayo. Come on. 7-Up.
Marlboro McLaren. I'd have to go with.
I'd say 2004 Ferrari. The Marlboro, the Scarlet Red. It always just did things to me.
Favorite F1 track?
Unpopular opinion, I love Singapore.
I think Spa, because I like wet weather and baths.
Brands Hatch.
This is kind of cliche, but Monaco, it just... Monaco is awesome.
Silverstone.
I haven't seen them all yet, so this is my first year following, but Monaco was always a favorite track.
F1 track, Montreal.
Oh, that's really tough. Coda?
Austin.
I gotta go with Coda.
Suzuka?
Baku.
What's your favorite cheese?
Ideally, Gorgonzola.
Manchego.
Going very specific, it's got to be a cave-aged cheddar from Wookiee Hole. Red Leicester, or Red Leicester, I should say, for our American.
Oh, gosh, the British people love this, like,
this British hard cheddar, which for me is like not very good. I love like a good German Gouda.
Halloumi.
Oh, that's a tough one. Parmesan.
Aciacavallo. It's from my parents' region of Italy.
Double Gloucester.
Stop. I let that one go over by 4 seconds there just to get the cheese in.
You gotta get the cheese in. It's the best one.
Oh, what? I had like 10 more lined up to do that.
I might have done, but you can't ask them all. You just get the 100 seconds, Brian. That's kind of how the feature works.
Rob, you put that together, and I don't know why it paused in the middle and I got it rebooted and I might have missed a couple seconds, but thank you for doing that. And you have some SAP stats about the DRS.
I do. As I went back over every single episode and created the library of what we've done. Okay,
which is amazing. So kudos to you.
We have asked 678 questions across all of our DRS episodes, and you just listened to 174 of them. I've managed to get every single person that we've had. We've had 45 guests, pretty evenly split. Brian's interviewed 22, I've done 23, and we shared Valtteri, where we took turns because it wasn't fair otherwise. So, and across that, we've had 57 unique questions to those guests. The top three most asked are: best current driver in third with 29. What was your first poster on your bedroom wall with 31? And favorite track? And we just randomly pick these. So in my head, I thought first poster was the one we'd asked the most. But
first poster is near the top as well. So I think that's why of the non sort of F1 ones, it gets a lot of credit. But you're right. They are not in order. So it's interesting that those other two are so high.
The most questions ever answered in a single run was Antonia. She got 23 answers in the 100 seconds, so that was great. And then we had the fewest ever held, nine. Dr. Obbs, Coach Mike, Dagan, and your friend Mark D. Nine questions. They were the slowest ones. And actually, I needed to give a shout out to Mark, because Mark got pretty much shafted by Brian, because although he only got asked nine questions, I had to give him one of those because technically only eight of them were questions from our list. I think he answered more. He did actually maybe get 12 or 13, but Brian knows him from way back when. Most of his questions were like, who was your favorite college roommate? So Brian freestyled and asked all these random questions that had nothing to do with it. So
I didn't realize there was such a strict adherence to the format that I'd created.
I'm just saying that Mark might be down the list with like being there with the lowest number of actual questions answered because you didn't ask him many.
Sorry, Mark.
What else? Most answers are rapid fire, but the top five slowest questions answered. Spanners took 12 seconds to tell us about his first poster. That was the fifth slowest. The fourth slowest was Spanners again, where he took 17 seconds to tell us about his answer to whether he sleeps in or get up early. There was quite a story to that. Third on the list, Spanners again. 23 seconds to tell us about changing the kitty litter as being the worst chore that he did. Second, Coach Mike with 24 seconds to tell us about his first memory because he couldn't remember the race, so he described it to us in detail until one of us realized I think he was talking about, was it Malaysia when the...
I don't remember. I think it was.
Dr. Obbs with the crown, 30 seconds. Considering it's a 100-second run, 30 seconds to tell us about his first memory of F1. And last but not least, this one did fill my heart with warmth. I always give Brian abuse for asking slow questions.
I always say that when Brian does it,
he's like, you know, it's all about speed. This is his idea. It's the 100 seconds, flap open as fast as we can go. And then Brian will go, what is the first poster you had on your bedroom wall? Or if you didn't have a bedroom, maybe in your apartment, or maybe it was on the ceiling. I mean, wherever the poster was, can you articulate to us where that first poster was? I mean, he just goes on and tasks in slow motion. Now, that was a gut feeling. Would the stats back this up? Okay, so when I've asked questions, the highest I was the one that did Antonia, 23 answers, and I've had a low of 9 just once. I had Dr. Obbs in his 32nd answer. That was not my fault. So my average is 16 questions are asked. When I host the 100 seconds, we get 16 on average in. Brian's high, it's to Lane Paul right here, is 16. That's the best he's ever done. It was the first time we ever ran DRS, so Brian
was
excited.
Look at us, Paul. Look at us. Who would have thought?
So that was his high. He's had a low of 9 that he's done multiple times, and his average is 13.6, which means my average is actually equaling your best ever. So facts don't lie, Brian. You are slow when you do DRS.
I'd like to say, before Paul weighs in, I'd like to just say this. My average of 13.6 rounds to 14. Your average of 16 is only two questions more in 100 seconds. I'd like to think mine are more thorough and well thought out. And
it's the same
question. The answers are fantastic. I'm not listening to you anymore. Paul, you know, what about the slander here of you being the high for me, which is still Rob's average? You got any comments?
Hey, we just work well as pairs, mate. It's as simple as that. And it's not about speed. It's about efficiency. And as long as you're efficient with your question asking, then it's all fine. So, Rob, get back in your garage or wherever it is you want to be. Leave Brian alone. You're always picking on him. We don't pick on you any time. You just single him out. And it's not fair just for those two questions.
Right?
I got you back.
Thank you, buddy. I mean, we all agree. Rob is worst. Speaking of the worst, Rob, can we move off of 100th episode into last week's fantasy because I was the worst?
Do we have anything else that we want to wrap a bow around the 100? Any kind of closing thoughts from you, Paul? Because all we got left now is to kind of update, because the fantasy took about a million years to calculate Brazil, and then we have our massive preview of Vegas, which will take us about 30 seconds. So kind of, you know, it's been great having you on all these time, Paul. We really do appreciate all of the pit lane reviews. I'm actually starting to really love the three-prong sprint races, just because I know we get a different format of review from you. So anything you'd like to add?
Nah, it's good. It's good fun to do. Like I've said many times before, sometimes I'm not overly enthusiastic, but I am quite a miserable old git at times with racing. So you have to excuse that. But it's good fun to do, and I'm glad you guys have had such a blast doing the actual podcast. And the main thing is to enjoy it. And as long as you enjoy it, it'll continue. And the effort you put in is great. So continue doing what you're doing. I'm going to continue my drive very shortly, so I have no desire to listen to the Fantasy League because I'm absolutely tragic in it. So, yeah, from my point of view, that can just go to hell. And then your Vegas, you heard my thoughts at the start of the episode on that. It'll be interesting. Sunday morning by the time the race finishes. Saturday night, Sunday morning. It's weird times. It's really bizarre. So, yeah, it'll be sometime over the weekend. It'll be interesting to hear my review and if I was right or if I was wrong. But in the meantime, guys, pleasure helping you two out. It's enjoyable. It's good fun. It's never a chore. Continue doing what you're doing, and congrats on 100. And, as many have said, here's for 100 more.
Paul, thank you, man. Fella. Yeah, I didn't even know you 2 years ago, and now I consider you somebody who's a friend, but also a knowledgeable insight into all the races. So thank you so very much for the generosity of your time and insights at every race, which is a ton to ask, and we really appreciate it, mate.
I was waiting for last little knife twist there. I've only known you 2 years, and now I've come to know you as somebody that I can rip on Rob about.
No, I save those for you, brother.
Okay.
I gotta say, he's known me for 2 years, but at least he's got to know somebody who can finish a beer. Right.
And on that note, you can hit the road. Enjoy Vegas.
Safe travels, Paul.
Bye.
That was awesome. Oh, man. Rob, I'll let you close on your 100th. Any other things you'd highlight? I know we did memories already, but anything else you want to highlight before I close the 100th and go to fantasy?
I think we've done like an hour and whatever on the flashback. Yeah. So we will have there's a video that goes alongside the 100 seconds montage, which kind of put some pictorial element to the answers that people came up with. And it will also allow you to watch it end-to-end without Brian interfering. And
I didn't touch anything. I had my hands in the air and the thing went boop. Can we put the whole... Can we do, if I might ask, can we get the 100 seconds of DRS on YouTube by itself in addition to the episode? Like both?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put that separately, so people only have to sit through that. But
brilliant.
And my idea had been, by the way, rather than just sit and watch our reaction,
you'd play it during, but
YouTube,
I screwed it up.
I would put the video over it. Did your computer break? I mean, the Zoom call didn't glitch, so I'm only thinking that Fat Finger Brian just leant on the space bar and
maybe my wine in a box and a solo cup hit it. Okay, so seriously, as we close this, I do have one last thing to say. Thanks to everybody who listens. Tell your friends, please. Tell your neighbors. Shout it from a rooftop. But in all seriousness, you are the best part of the D-Side. Rob and I have talked a lot about this, the reason we do this, and we would continue doing it if it's just us, but it's the Dirty Siders. We are Dirty Siders. The point of this whole thing is to have a laugh and enjoy a sport we love, and we appreciate you being with us. Something I don't love, though, is the results from the Brazilian Grand Prix or São Paulo Grand Prix in fantasy.
Before you read them out,
yeah.
What I do need to, this is all my fault. I know it's my fault. However, sprint races really mess me up. Sprint weekends, when the qualifying is on the Friday, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to do anything with my team again. So I had a genius build idea for the previous race that had got me great points.
I'm scrolling, then, looking for you now.
Oh,
yeah.
Don't. You got to get, I'm nearly bottom. I think I'm about
502.
Yeah. Yeah, like really low down. Like you've got to go down to the basement, in through like a trap door, just keep going down to the center of the earth, and there I am. Because I had Williams as one of my constructors. Because
why would you do that?
Because the previous week it worked and I beat you, and then this week I forgot to change it completely and it all blew up in my face. So, you know, there should be some memos.
Much like Alex's first lap. Okay, so the Sao Paulo Grand Prix. I was 47th. Rob was, what did you say, 102? Well
done. Yeah, 102, yeah.
But let's do the top five here. San Gaucho, El Cuello F1. I'm sure I just sweared at somebody with a massive 445 points. And first, the Sigma Tauris, Busy Bee Racing, Alan Giron, and DLVs are the top five. 390 points for the tie for fourth with Alan Giron and DLVs. Those are amazing scores. And when you look at the entirety of the league, we have a leader in FPL Instinctive at 6180, followed very, very closely by Michael Cronje 16 at 6174, 6 points back. So we have a very tight race for first with a new leader in FPL Instinctive, followed by Lampico Marquinhos, Russell My Feather, and San Gaucho El Cuello F1 with that monster win from Brazil using, I'm assuredly, some chips or a chip. But those are the top five. We have two races left, Vegas and Abu Dhabi. The winner, unless it's the winner from the first half, will get a t-shirt. So guys, gals, everybody, get your lineups in. There are two races left to win the Dirty Side t-shirt. And I'd be remiss as the merch man if I didn't highlight that we are halfway in to the Dirty Side merch sale. Merchicality, salicality, get in there now. It is at cost. We get nothing. You get a Dirty Side t-shirt. They're fantastic. I have my lightweight Dirty Side hoodie.
Or a throw pillow. Or a pair of curtains.
T-shirt.
Or a phone cover. Or whatever your heart
underpants,
desires. Underpants. The Dirty Side.
Socks. Drapes. Curtain rod. Whatever you may want, go to our store, www.dirtysideofthetrack.com, click merch, and you'll be in the Redbubble store. Enjoy it. It's at cost. They're having sales. You should be there now. If you're not there now, pause the episode, go there now, and come back and check it out.
Well, then pausing and coming back is a bit like TV over here that really annoys me, where it goes to a commercial break, then it comes back, and it's for the credits at the end of an episode. What's all that about? Why does American TV do that? But anyway.
Why are you complaining? Okay, so let's talk about Vegas, baby. Vegas, baby, Vegas. I'd play it, except, wait, hang on. I still have that window somewhere in the background. Here it is, Rob.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Seems like forever ago that this had been announced it was going to be on the calendar, and here we are, and it's going to be next week.
A million years ago.
We're going to do our preview, and I've got like 7 bullets on this, and like 3 of them are things that aren't real. They're just whatever. But anyway, we will see 50 laps of a 3.853-mile upside-down pick.
Yes.
17 corners threaded throughout that 3.8 miles, but however, 1.18 of it is a giant straight. So we have over a mile of straight. Have you seen the curb designs that have been going around?
Yes, with the cards, with the card suites, yes,
with
so
the
good.
Clubs and diamonds and all that kind of stuff on the red and white curve. That's amazing. The track was built back in this year.
Last year, they were technically, according to F1 2022,
Until you finish it, I don't think it's built.
Well, then it's not built yet, because I've been reading they're still finishing it. So it ain't done yet.
They're still finishing it. So it's kind of being built now. It first held a race next week. And then I've kind of run out of stuff, and you said you'd found some things.
Well, no, you nailed it. I mean, I was going to talk about the laps. So we got 50 laps coming up. There are two DRS zones. One is on the strip itself, and then one is on the start-finish straight. Which is kind of on the Koval area, but that's not it, before they get to the Sphere. I cannot wait. I actually got in this conversation. We had a board meeting this week at work, and a couple of board members and I were talking about Vegas, and somehow F1 came up because, well, I was in the conversation, so I'm sure I brought it up. And we were talking about the Sphere and how cool it is, and it is probably my favorite man-made object I've seen in a long time. And so they are racing around it. It's the MSG, Madison Square Garden Sphere, owned by Dolan. It is really amazing. And so the question I have is, at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night, Vegas time, will the sphere be lit up and looking at the drivers? Because sometimes it has eyes and it looks around. Sometimes it's an ad. Who knows what it'll be? But it would be unbelievably distracting for the drivers to go by this sphere the size of like a 5 or 7 story building lit up with LEDs and boards.
You think that'll be the only distracting part of the scenery as they're driving around the strip?
It'll be the most. It won't be the only. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't know what the sphere will be doing. I can't wait. As I said last week, I was way off. It's going to be cold as all get out. I told Valtteri he'd be fine because I thought, oh, desert, November, it's fine. I forgot it was night. And so it is going to be stinking cold. It'll be fantastically interesting to see. And Rob, you didn't mention this, but there were two previously Las Vegas races. It was the 81 and 82 Caesars Palace Grand Prix, which looked like a cursive Z in a parking lot. I know.
You did this with the Styrian thing.
What's it called? It's a different track. I know. I'm with you. It's different. 100% different. Okay. But hypothetically, okay. I'm giving the completionists out there a shout out.
So, okay, we've got to do our prediction.
Oh, God, I'm wearing a bow tie here. Like Frank Sinatra, sorry? I got to predict something?
Yeah.
All right, you go first.
But there's two predictions I want here. One, a prediction of the podium. Two, a prediction of, are you going to be able to enjoy the show that wraps around it without actually dying of cringing? So that's going to be your second prediction.
Okay, you go first.
My first. So, okay. Why not? Because it's Vegas, it's showtime, and maybe something magical can happen. Let's just go for the good old, let's throw the non-max win out there that bins it on the cold tires into the first corner, into the wall. Because he'll obviously have pole, but he'll be out on the first corner. So we're going to see a win for like the long straights. And this could be a Mercedes for that Franken car one. We tried to predict it for Brazil, and it flew in our face. So let's just try, second time's a charm. So I'm going to go for it. Lewis to win.
Oh, wow. Here we go. First time after 300 races.
Yes.
Lewis F. Hamilton.
Lewis to win. Lando to make that second place his home yet again. poor old Lando not winning. And we'll throw Alonso up in third. We'll say the Aston.
The downgrades are working.
The downgrades
are working. Mr. Crack. At you, Mr. Crack.
And my prediction on the show is that I will probably cringe multiple times and text you and go, oh, my God, what are they doing? Please make it stop. Because I'm trying to get ready for it, knowing that this is what's going to happen. Know that it's going to be like Miami on steroids twice.
Right. Yes.
And I'm trying to make sure that I'm ready for that. And I don't judge it because of it being Vegas and showy. But I just think it's going to be too Vegas showy for a good old British boy. I'm going to just like go, I can't consume any more cheese. This is just too much.
So I, for the podium, as we close the episode, our 100th episode, God, I feel privileged to be a part of it. I would say this. I'm also going without Max, but I'm going with Lando to win. I think the McLaren will be frisky. We've seen them reeling in the Red Bull. This new circuit might be too much, especially at the temperatures. Who knows what the heck these temperatures will do to the Red Bull. So I got Lando winning. I've got my man Charles Leclerc, as I once said, he's got a soft spot in my heart and a hard spot in my pants for him. So I got Charles Leclerc second on the podium. And third, I have Max F. Verstappen. He's going to be in. You say he's going out. No, I got it. I got him in. I just don't think the Red Bull at 35 degrees Fahrenheit.
If he's in, he wins.
No, you don't understand. He's going to slide off at a couple corners like he did in Singapore 2 years ago and leave those long 11s all the way down.
Okay.
He'll be sitting outside the Bellagio in the fountains and they'll dig the car out and he'll still finish third. And so will it be cringeworthy? 1,000,000%. Do you remember last year when Miami was introduced and I accidentally ran into the Wednesday night ceremony and I was tweet storming it like crazy?
Yes,
I'm planning on doing it this time, Wednesday night. I'm saved the time. I've booked it, blocked it, and I'm ready. There'll be a series of disjointed, alcohol-fueled tweets coming out of our account under it'll be me on Wednesday night. I will be cringing from moment one, but I will love it because as an American, that's what we do. And so, Rob, I appreciate you. You are an amazing co-host. You don't get enough credit for being the foil to my craziness, for being well thought out and being just a great guy. As I joked with you a couple weeks ago, Who knew 2 years ago I would establish a relationship with somebody who would become basically the person I talk to most after my wife? This random British dude is the person I talk to the most. God bless you, Rob. I love doing this with you, man.
And as I think they'd say, right back at you. Yeah, I mean, every time my WhatsApp goes off my phone, my wife will joke, oh, it's your work wife.
Done.
So yeah, it's been amazing. We've had some cracking times, and we've already kind of covered a whole bunch of that in the last hour and a half or whatever it is. But I'm probably gonna, after hanging up on this with you, probably gonna go and work my way through each of those videos again, because they're all amazing. Oh, and I know the one thing we didn't play, the one song, but we'll put it in the show notes, was the when Andy did the kind of Smoking the Bandit style music for our road trip to Canada.
Yes.
So we'll throw that one on there as well, because that was just the most insane and most amazing weekend, which was only made possible because of this silly little pod and the generosity of a listener, good old Lynn. Yeah. It was just, it's been amazing. So I don't want to think that the next 100 could A, happen, or B, be as good as these, but like we said, it's still fun. We'll keep doing it. So over to you, because I can't close things and you're good at sort of saying bye.
So with that, if you're bored, check us out. We have a Canada 23 section of our website, which is now running. Rob did all a lot of work for the 100th. I made sure the Canada race is memorialized. There's the word I'm looking for. Guys, thank you all. Thanks for being part of the Dirty Side with us. We appreciate you so very much. We hope you have a wonderful week. And as Vegas gets ramped up and Paul arrives and the cringeworthiness goes up to 100, join us, because we can't wait to talk to you about it next week. Be well, everybody. Thanks.